Something hit you today. Holy Ghost time. Amen. Before we get started, we want to pray for the church. We still have people out, and we still have to continue to pray. And so if you will, come up and get some oil, anoint the seats, anoint, you know what your part is. And the children are going to stay in the sanctuary today. Anoint the pews. If the Lord brings anyone to mind, pray for them as I pray. Father, we just thank you for that you gave us a place to meet. We thank you, God, that every single person that's in the church today, that you have drawn them here, and that you have given them overcoming power to get here. We give you praise and glory right now in Jesus' name, that you will protect them when they leave. And we pray for the grounds of this church, that you have your sentries out there protecting the grounds from any kind of witchcraft plantings, any kind of devils turning people away from these meetings in this building. We give you praise and glory, God, that you will break this storm up that's headed to Cuba. And they say it may go up into the Gulf. And, Father, they've hardly gotten over what that was hitting them last week. We command it to break up. We break up its circles. And we command those spirits to go into a cage. And we confuse them. We bind the winds and the rains and the power and all witchcraft and all portals and every water spirit. And we ask you to put an ice cube in that storm to slow it down and to break it up in Jesus' name. We pray for those people. There was one little city that lost about 80% of its homes down there in the Caribbean. We ask for your protection of your people all over the world. And we thank you that you will draw and bring people to the church. And Father God, that you will anoint us to teach them the things that you would have them to know. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, I feel impressed to bring you into 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in here a little bit teaching on the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And so you have to go through chapter 12 before we get to the gifts. Amen. And the Bible tells us that there are spiritual gifts, and every one of us need to be aware that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could have spiritual gifts, right? And we are the ones that are his church. And so, therefore, we are responsible to study to make ourselves approve of the Lord, right? And so, the very first chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now, considering spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give to you an understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost." Now, you see, in order to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you have to have Jesus. You have to be born again. And if you are not born again, you can go and move in the old gifts that you used to have as a child. The old gifts that came down through your family lines, fortune telling, divination, all kinds of supernaturalism that is on the other side. And we all know that the devil is the imitator of God. He's known as the big ape. Isn't it interesting that the evolutionists say that we came from apes? Well, we didn't. We were born in the image and likeness of God. Even before you were saved, the Bible says that God knew you and that he loved you, even before you were saved. So he has a love relationship with all of us. And he loves us and will stick closer to us than a brother. Amen? In order to move in spiritual gifts, you have to have that active, moving relationship with the Lord so that you are open for the wonderful, wonderful inspirations that God can give to you. You see, you're either going to be inspired by the devil or by God. And so God wants a church that's moving with him and moving in the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit will help you to attract and draw people to the Lord. Now, sometimes you may not have active gifts in the Spirit yet, and yet you belong to the Lord. Well, there's a growth period that you have to go through with the Lord, training in the Word, filling with the Word, learning how to move under that inspiration for your life, so that when the time comes, God can give you a gift. And you will be aware of it when you get that gift. Amen? You will know. And so the Bible shows us that Jesus Christ, in fact, is our Lord, our Savior, our teacher, our prophet. He's everything to us. And when Jesus becomes everything to you, that's when you connect in and you have that living, everyday relationship with him. It's not there just when you come to church, although he's there when you come to church. When you come to church, there's power in corporate prayer, and there's power in God's ability to spot you out through one of the leaders or someone that has a spiritual gift and tell that person needs prayer. Fellowship is there for a purpose and a reason. And if you get yourself isolated off into some place where you're totally isolated and the devil's whispering in your ear, oh, you're so smart, you don't need the pastors, you don't need fellowship, you're so smart, you've got it all together, that's when you're not having it all together. Because you see, any time that the devil whispers in your ear something that cannot line up with the Word of God, it's a lie. And it's a plan to draw you away so that you will lose your protection, your spiritual protection that you gain from godly people praying for you and ministering to you and standing with you, explaining things to you, that sort of thing. So church is very, very important. And one of the things that we at Miracle must begin to pray about is this church, because this church is here for a purpose. It's here to train people, and it's also here for people to come that have needs. And if every church in Jacksonville moved in deliverance and understood deliverance, and there were places that I could send you if you weren't happy here, I would send you there. because I really don't want anybody in the church that's not happy, right? But since there is none, I can just say, hook into Jesus and trust Jesus, and Jesus will tell you the truth about everything, right? Because he's Lord. Now, after you establish yourself in Jesus, then you have to come to an understanding of the spiritual gifts that God placed into the church. And in the next verse, verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of the administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is all the same God which worketh all in all. But the ministration of the Spirit is given to every man to profit wherewith. For to one, well, let me stop right there. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, you can clearly see that God is the giver of gifts. There's no human being that can give you a supernatural gift. And the reason for that is this. God knows where you are in the Spirit. And as Christians, sometimes we think that we're further along in the Spirit than we are. Amen? Sometimes when you have a zeal for the Lord and you step ahead of the Lord and you get your head bashed in, and it really shows you where you are in the Spirit. It's not the Lord bashing your head in. It's the devil taking an opportunity to understand where you stand in the Spirit. And so if you step out before the Lord sends you out, you're going to get beat up. And so it's important for you to get with the Lord, to get in the Word, study the Word, and pray and intercede and fellowship with the Lord. And when you're ready, he'll give you the gift or gifts that he has in store for you. Now, always remember, God wants to give you a gift. Now, in the cult world, the divinating world, the fortune-telling world, those gifts that people pick up come naturally because they are not gifts of Jesus. And those gifts that they get, they can work in them, some deeper in levels than others, depending on the price they're paying. If you take a housewife, for instance, that starts moving in the spirit of divination, they can prophesy. Sometimes some of those divinating spirits are traveling down their family lines. And what you always have to understand is this. Demons have been around since the beginning. And demons know things. And they know things from grandmas, grandpas, great-grandmas, all of this stuff. They have learned how human beings are. And they watch you to see where is there just a little open door that they can rush in and stop God's work in your spirit. They watch you. So when a person has been out into the world and they've read occult books, like say they read Gene Dixon's book. Gene Dixon, some of you might not remember her because she was very popular in the 70s, and some of you are younger than that now, and there are new divinators out there, like John Edwards, for instance. Not the one that ran for the for the presidency, but there's a John Edwards out there that has a television show where he speaks to your dead relatives, supposedly, which he doesn't, because that's just imitating spirits. I've tested his spirits. When he's been on Larry King Live several times, I've sat and done warfare and bound those devils over him, and he couldn't prophesy anything. And even Larry King could tell. He said, well, anybody has that. And so when you bind a spirit, what happens? The spirit's bound, right? And so I bind the spirit in him. The spirit's bound. I cut the ley lines between the person that he's prophesying over. He can't get the information from the other demon in the person. And so then he has to wing it. And he has to just say things. And Larry King even picked up on it. So we as Christians have a lot of supernatural power. There's no question, more so than they do. And just always remember that. But the divinating spirit, a little housewife, can have dreams, can have visions, can have prophecies. Nothing to it at all. So, in other words, that's why the Bible tells you as a Christian, test the spirits to see if they be of God. And so, you, as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, gifts don't just usually pop up in your life. A gift is something at one point of time that the giver comes and gives it to you. Amen? And so you're not born with it at all. I've had Christians to come and say, well, I was born with this gift. No, you weren't. And the reason that God gives the gifts instead of the person, now I'm a minister, and you can ask me to pray for you to have gifts, and I'll pray for you to have a gift, but I'm not the giver of the gift. I have no control over it, no power over it. God gives the gifts. Just always remember that when you begin to step out, you know. And so then the Bible tells us that there are different kinds of gifts. The gift of prophecy doesn't exactly work like the gift of dreams and visions, right? The gift of deliverance doesn't work like the gift of healing. However, when a person begins to grow in the Spirit, all of those nine gifts will begin to intermix with that ministry in, a deliverance session. The gift of the word of knowledge can operate. The gift of interpretation of something that somebody has said to you can operate. The gift of healing, after you cast devils out of a person, devils cause, demons inside of you will cause a destruction of your flesh. And it could be a slow-moving destruction that you don't even realize something's being destructed in you until all of a sudden you get a pain somewhere. You hurt somewhere. Then you know something's wrong inside. So, for instance, Friday night we took authority and asked every single person in the room that smoked, even way back in the past, though they've stopped, for them to honestly raise their hands because God wanted to give them a healing in their chest. Now, the reason we did that is because when a person opens up for a demon to come in, the demon does not leave until it's driven out. It stays in that flesh. And so that's why, even after salvation, many Christians have a struggle of getting rid of cigarettes out of their life. And they have to grow sometimes in the Spirit so that they get strong enough in the Lord. and they have enough confidence in the Lord to just give it up. And but if they just give it up and they quit without any deliverance over that area, those spirits stay nestled in there, hiding, thinking that they're going to stay there, and one day they have a plan to kill that person. And they can kill that person with cancer, emphysema, and all kinds of destructions in their bodies. Cancer of the throat, esophagus, in the lungs, all kinds of things. So we try to lead people to work on that spirit over their lives daily with prayer, fasting, resisting, getting with somebody to pray with you to give that up as quick as you can. Then once you give up the sin, because smoking is destruction of the temple of God. And you see, the temple of God is the place where God comes to live. And there's been people that I've ministered to over the years that smoked, that we didn't harp on it with them. We prayed with them, and they struggled with that. That at one point of the game, they just decided they were going to quit, and they did. And when they came for deliverance, they would cough up. I've had two people to say this to me. They coughed up something that looked like a black jellyfish. And so what that really was the spirit left in the body to destroy the body. So if we had not done deliverance on the after effects of the sin, then at one point or another, the devil had a plan for those people. Now, that can work in all areas of your life. It can work in drugs, where you take drugs. It could work in alcohol. It could work in sex that you had before you got married, all kinds of things. It can work in those ways. And so it's like housekeeping. You work in your house. You keep your house, and you have to do certain things to have a clean house, right? That's what you have to do to your temple. It gets to the point that some of the housekeeping that you do occurs with you and Jesus in your prayer life, in studying of the Word, all sorts of praise. Sometimes Pastor Dennis will be praising the Lord up here, and somebody could all of a sudden get some deliverance. I've seen that happen. And they go through deliverance. Nobody's speaking to the demons. The demons just getting out of there. Amen? And so we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the deliverer. And it's to his advantage and his intention to take those sheep that follow after him and get them cleaned up spiritually, stabilized emotionally, and standing spiritually on their own two feet, so that, let's take, you're in a good church and the pastor's firm in the Word and seems to be doing good. Well, you know, pastors can fall. We see it every day in the news. And there you are sitting in the church. What do you do? Well, if a pastor falls in intentional sin, say homosexuality, lust, or whatever, and it becomes exposed, what you need to do is to get out of there. You need to pray and get out of there and ask God where he would send you. Because you see, 9 times out of 10, that pastor has no knowledge of deliverance in our country anyway. And so what's inside of him as he lays hands upon you will come out spirits, and you will get contaminated from an unholy vessel. Now, all of us fail, as you well know. Nobody's perfect. We can fail in our emotional areas. We can fail in our tempers. We can get terribly rejected and respond to the rejections and things like that. And you just really do have to seek the Lord about these things. We can get under attack and suddenly burst because demons are hitting us 90 miles an hour. And so these are just things. They happen to you. They happen in your marriages. And what do you do when that happens in your marriage? You begin to pray about it, and you come back, and you make up, and everything's fine, right? That's what you have to do with your pastors. You have to have compassion and love for your pastor. And your pastor is your connection. If God brought you to the pastor, that pastor is your connection to help you grow in the spirit realms. Amen? I mean, if you got a good pastor. And so the diversities of the gifts, they act in different ways. And the way I found it in my particular life, God's the one that grew the gifts. As I became strong enough to walk in the gifts. You see, let me tell you about healing, for instance. That was the first gift that I got from the Lord. And I got that gift when I was a fairly baby Christian. The second gift that I got was the gift of casting out devils. I had no teachers except Jesus. I was thoroughly, totally rejected by the body of Christ when I came into it because I was different. I looked different. I was the exact opposite of that Todd Bentley in looks. I was a woman that was well-dressed, everything. And I wasn't the typical housewife because I came out of politics. I had run for the state legislature. So I was strong in the world and in the things of the world. But when I came into the body of Christ, the Lord began to use certain things that I had learned in the world to build this ministry. And I moved fairly quickly in the ministry, but he was the one directing it. And so whenever the manifestation of healing happened in my life, I was very submitted to the Spirit, very, very, I could feel Him, and I could feel what was going on with the people in addition to what He was saying to me in my mind and in my spirit. And so there was a little black lady that went to one of the AME churches, and she was dying of cancer. And there was a woman that came to our prayer meeting at the house and asked if I would go and pray for her. And I said, yes, I'll go pray for her. And so I came driving up there, and the bishop came in before I did, and so they had me sitting off in a little anteroom there. And when he got through, they came and got me. And this woman was in the last parts of cancer. She was 67 pounds is what she weighed. Now, whenever a spirit is in a person that's dying, that spirit's intentions are to transfer into a living body. They like to live in living bodies, not dead bodies. Amen? And so I went and I stood by her bed. And before I started praying for her, something lifted up off of that bed and came upon me. And I could feel it. And I began to do spiritual warfare for me. Because that cancer in her, its intention was to come into me. And if I had not been really thoroughly submitted to Jesus and sensitive to the spirit realms, well, I would have just gone in there and said to hell, well, be healed in the name of Jesus like a lot of Christians do, and then walked out of there with a cancer spirit. And so this is why it's important to learn. If God's called you into the ministry, sit and learn what you're dealing with. Because you, even though God is very, very important in terms of power and might, and he's working with you as a minister, you in turn have to be very closely connected with him at all times, and particularly if you are moving in a spiritual gift. Remember in the book of Acts where the sons of Sceva, they had heard the disciples using the name of Jesus. And they decided, well, you know, in Greece, they used the various names of their gods to affect their healing powers and whatever it is they were working. And so the Bible calls them Jewish exorcists. And they heard them use the name of Jesus. So they said, okay, we'll just use the name of Jesus. Because in those countries, they were connected into all kinds of gods. Amen? And so when they used the name of Jesus, they did not have the authority to use his name. Only believers have the authority to use the name of Jesus. Only believers. They did not have the anointing to use his name. They did not have the power to use his name. They did not have the knowledge to use his name. And so therefore, when they began to copy what they saw somebody else do, the Bible says that those devils came out of the person and rushed upon the sons of Sceva and ripped their clothes off. Devils are very, very powerful. And you can't play around with Christianity, or you can get in a lot of trouble real quick. You must, absolutely must be submitted to the Spirit of the living God in deliverance and healing. Because you can pick up what that person has if you don't know self-defense. On my webpage, I have a manual called Weapons of Warfare. And that manual, I think, from memory, has three books within that book, as I can remember. But it teaches you the scriptures of spiritual defense, and it teaches you how to take those scriptures and apply them to yourself for spiritual defense. Friends, we're in a warfare. And sometimes it looks like the devil is winning. But the devil is only winning because people are not thoroughly, totally committed to Jesus and his word. And I'm going to tell you, get you a King James Version. Don't study all of those perverse Bibles that are out there. They are not the word of God. They are Bibles that have been interpreted by sinful people, many of them in the Protestant church and the Catholic church that are in sin. I've already told you about the NIV Bible, which the nun that was the writer of that Bible, the interpreter of the Hebrew, turns out that she was into a lesbian lifestyle. You see, I'd prefer to go with the King James because of the fact that people that wrote that weren't blatantly into sin. Amen? And so I would say that if you do it God's way and you understand how the gifts operates, who gives you the gifts, how do you receive those gifts? Once you receive those gifts, what do you do with those gifts? Then God will be able to use you very powerfully in the body of Christ and out on the streets and everywhere you go, and you'll learn how to protect yourself from the evil spirits and from the unbelievers and the witches and the warlocks. See, I stand against world powers coming against me all the time with what I do, and I've survived If you want to be a minister, you can survive. But you're going to have to learn how to fight little devils before you can fight world powers. Every rung that the Lord brings you up, you meet a new, fresh bunch of devils that's going to try you. But every rung that the Lord brings you up, he will teach you how to defeat the enemy. Amen? We want to do spiritual exercises. It's what I'm telling you. But we want to be in love with Jesus. That is really the whole secret to Christianity, I believe. Did I help you today? Amen. Now, we're going to continue and go through these gifts. I've got a book up on my webpage that is the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I wrote some years back. And so we're going to continue to go through because I want this church to begin to be able to function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let's stand to our feet and let's praise the Lord. But let's pray for those people in unison. And the Lord shows me that there are people that are Christians, or so-called Christians, that are praying against this church. And what we want to do is to bind up those prayers. Of course, witches and wizards are always praying against us, and we want to bind those up. And we want to ask God for those people that we have been ministering to, that he will minister directly to those people and put his shield around those people and draw them to where he would have them so that they can get free. Amen? Father, we just praise you today. We praise you. Everybody praise the Lord. Just lift your hands up and just praise him. Tell him everything that's in your heart today. Praise him, praise him, praise him. We give you praise and glory. We give you praise and glory. Praise and glory. Praise and glory. We thank you that you're our God and that we are right now sitting in heavenly places with our Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that woman that will lose her house, God. If you don't give her a financial miracle, and we all stand here in agreement for her to get a quick financial miracle, that you will open up a door for her that no devil can close, and that you will prove to her that there is no problem bigger than you, in Jesus' name. We pray for that phone call that I got where the man, Lord, is an alcoholic, and trying to come off of it. And what we do is we bind the spirit of alcoholism. We ask you for mercy, God, that you will bring that person through without going into epilepsy and detox, that you will help him and his wife. We pray for those people that have called me all week long from other states for various things, and particularly that basketball player that is being chased by a water spirit agent. We give you the glory that you put blocks in front of him to keep him, God, from being attacked from all of these devils that they are sending from that under the sea. We give you praise that you will grow him up and strengthen him in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the woman that was in such a state of confusion through dreams and visions this week that called me. And all of the others, God, that have called, we give you praise. We thank you for breaking up that hurricane that's coming toward the Gulf. We ask, God, that you protect the people all up and down the Florida coast, and up and down the Mississippi coast and the Louisiana coast and the Texas coast. And we particularly ask that you will absolutely protect those oil rigs out in Texas and in the Gulf of Mexico, and that you will surround them with your warring angels, and that you will link angels all up and down the coastlines. And Lord, those that have already experienced that thing, that you will minister to them, Lord God. We give you praise and glory. We ask that you send your mighty, powerful angels to war against the devils in that storm and in any other storm that will come this way. We give you praise for this church. We ask that you open up the doors and bring people to our church. And Lord, then show us how to minister to them. We thank you, God, for Brother Jefferson, who is not here today, and that you will touch his body and totally heal him, God, and touch his family in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for every single person that's not here for one reason or another. We ask that you let them know that we're praying for them. And Father God, we thank you for Annette and David. They pray for us, and we pray for them. And all of the prayers that we pray on Tuesday and here in our church, God, that you will also reach out and apply those prayers to their church. We give you praise and glory. We ask that each and every person that came to church today, that you let them walk out of this church on a cloud and feeling the power of the Holy Ghost in their vessels, and let them know that they are chosen people and they are a chosen generation, and that you want to turn them totally in to a victorious people. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.